John chapter 11. I'm going to ask if you would to stand as we read God's word this morning and just kind of use it as a moment to take all that you are to bring yourself to attention. I want you to notice in this passage, this is out of the seven signs of who Jesus is in the Gospel of John. This is the culmination. This is it. This is what changes everything. It's his ultimate sign of who he is, who Jesus is. And I want you to notice that the themes are glory, the themes are love, and the themes are believe in this passage. Because John, from the beginning to the end of the gospel, is writing these things, so why? So we will believe. John chapter 11, starting at verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. It's not actually happening to chapter 12, but he's trying to communicate how much Mary loves Jesus. So the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you, what? Love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's what? Glory. So that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus, what? Loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was two more days. Jumping down to verse 17, since we covered the other verses 2 weeks ago. On Jesus' arrival, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. Martha heard that Jesus was coming. She went out to him, but Mary stayed at home. First of three questions. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you, what's the word? Believe this. Yes, Lord, she told him, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, the place where Jesus was and saw him. All right. Take care of that. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied, and Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he what? Loved him. There's that word again. Third question. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you what? Believed, you would see what? The glory of God. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit
of people standing here that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask now that you would show us who you are in the way that you save and conquer death. Lord, not only to remember our eternal home, but also to remember that every day you are faithful to take away what separates us from you and one another. And Lord, bring us life. Holy Spirit, I cannot possibly speak to every situation of death and fear in this room. Only you can speak to every person's heart here what they need to hear as you reveal through the scripture what they need to believe. So, Lord, we ask that you would be faithful to your word with mighty works of your Holy Spirit in our midst, that, Father, we might be, as this scripture says, to know that you are the resurrection and the life, and we may live in it now. In Christ's name, and everyone said, amen.
When we began this teaching, we talked about the first half of Lazarus' story. That is the disciples and Jesus and all of them dealing with death. And we said how Jesus, as the resurrection and life, he saves us from the fate of death. This sickness is not going to end in death, but it's going to end for the glory of God. We talked about how Jesus has defeated death, but not destroyed it yet. So right now it still serves to help people know his glory. We talked about how Jesus saves people from the fear of death. The disciples didn't want to obey and go where they should go because they were afraid to die. But Jesus said, walk with me in the light. Walk with me in obedience. You have nothing to fear. And then the force of death and what it was to know Jesus overcoming death. So one of the key teachings of this passage is to understand how Jesus, being the Son of God, this is the greatest sign of who he is, that he has authority and victory over death and sin. Death no longer separates us from God, and one day death will no longer separate us from one another. Until his second coming, death is defeated but not destroyed. Until that day, it serves for his glory. I think one way you can think about what death is death is separation from love. And we know that death is working through sin in our temporary everyday, and we know that death has this final victory before Christ. And so when we lose a loved one and they pass from this world, one of the pains of death is that we're separated from them. We're no longer with them, and we feel that because death has separated us from. But on an everyday level, when we choose sin, when we choose our own way over God who is life, death separates us in just as much of a real way. Although in the confusion and the busyness of this world, we tend not to recognize it as much. When I sin against someone in my family or hard feelings develop and unforgiveness are there, I am separated from that person even though we both share the same home still. Even though we share the same last name or the heritage, I am separated because death has come and separated me from one I'm supposed to love. One of the worst feelings is when we lose someone in this physical life only to realize how much we had lost them while we still had the chance to be with them. And so what we look for is Jesus, who says, I have grace and healing for that. And not only have I found a way for your loved one to live again, and one day, as you follow Christ and they have followed Christ, One day you will what? Be together again, and this time in the perfect family I always planned for you to have. And it also speaks to us that while they're still on this side of life, we need to recognize the sin and the death that are there, and instead of tolerating it and accepting it and taking on a lot of the attitudes of the world around us, we need to ask Jesus to defeat this death too right now. That we would have closeness and not have separation. We live in a world that treats being bitter and upset and having unforgiveness as normal. And we need to recognize that in the kingdom of God, that is not the way of life. We have been separated from love. Death has won. If you think about family members and people who hurt you, say, well, I don't care what they think. Well, that's a pretty good sign you care a lot. And you're trying to find a way not to feel what? Death. We were never meant, God never built us and made us to experience death. We were never built to feel separation from those here or from God himself. And so we try to find what we will see later in this passage as we find all sorts of tombstones to roll over what we don't want to see and deal with anymore. But what Jesus wants to do is say, I am the resurrection. I'm the Savior from sin and death right now. There's healing here, and one day there's eternal hope for all that I have for you. So we come to this passage, and we see that Jesus says this sickness for Lazarus, it will not end in death. Well, didn't it just say that Lazarus died? Well, Jesus said it will not what? End in death. In other words, Mary and Martha, Lazarus dies, but he's not going to stay separated from you. It's not going to end that way. I'm going to come and bring you back together because that's who I am. So in that moment, though death seems to be something that is trying to say this is finished and you are separated from them, in me, because I'm the resurrection life, you're going to see my glory and who I really am, and I am going to bring you back together. So Jesus says this will not end in death. You'll go through it. It won't end there. But instead, what it will end in is seeing my glory. Now, if you've ever heard about an athlete that you heard was just amazing, you thought, oh, that's great. And then you actually watched them play and were like, "What?" You know, you were just like, wow. I mean, you said they were good, but I didn't realize how good they were until I saw it. You have the idea of what it is to see Jesus' glory. See, most of us hear that he loves us and that he's faithful and he's powerful, but until you see him overcome death, you haven't seen him. You haven't seen the glory of who he is and what he can do. And so Jesus says, although this seems to be the greatest enemy and the most painful thing to be separated from a loved one, because of who I am, you're going to see all I really can do because I'm going to bring you back together. So in your notes, I want you to write this down if you're a note taker. Glory equals love. If you want to know how great God is, if you want to see who he really is, to know his glory is to know how much he truly loves you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, same guy who wrote this gospel, God is love. We all have heard that God loves us. But we haven't seen the glory. Wow, he really loves me. Like, he really loves me. Like, all that stuff, all that death, all that mess, all that separation, he loves me and all that? Yeah, see his glory, because death never wins when Christ is invited in. I'm going to say that again. Death never wins when Christ is invited in. And so that's what this passage is all about. Now, the question that this scripture builds to is, how do we understand that love in a time when death is defeated but not destroyed? Because if you look at this passage, the theme of love is all in it. John makes sure you know how much Mary loves Jesus because she's going to wash his feet and anoint him for prepare him for his burial. When they send word to Jesus, what do they say about Lazarus? Jesus, this is a person you love. Verse 5, just in case you were wondering, they just say it. Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. Jesus loves these people, and yet they are having to deal with death, so much so that the culminating question that leads to the revelation of how powerful Jesus is in verse 36 and 37, when the Jews are saying, "See how much he loved him? And if he loved him that much, why is death still part of their experience?" So this whole passage is a guide for us to understand how do we receive God's love, know the glory of his love, even though we have to deal with death that is defeated but not destroyed yet. And so we see within this passage, and I highlighted already, three different types of people who are trying to figure out how to believe in the glory of God, how to believe in his love in the middle of experiencing the pain of loss and death. And the first person is Martha. Now, if you've read the Bible, a certain amount, you know that Martha is the doer. She's in Luke, I think, chapter 11, where she's the one who invites Jesus into their home, and she's the one so busy with preparations, and Mary's sitting there just soaking it all in. Now, as much as we want to sometimes give Martha a hard time, the only reason Jesus was in the house was who? Martha, okay? And the only reason, so sometimes we give doers a little too much of a bad name, because the only reason we're having church this morning is because of all the Marthas who are getting it done, all right? Doers are not a bad thing as long as they make sure they don't fall into the weaknesses of being a doer. So Martha is kind of that classic doer. She's kind of represented by our hands, right? Because our hands want to get a hold of something, take care of it, do what we need to do. And that's kind of how we're built. And God builds a lot of us like doers. We're not like Mary. We're not sitting there feeling it all, crying all the time. We're just doers. Give me what I got to do. Let's get it done. And that's who Martha is. And a matter of fact, true to form, just like the story in the Gospel of Luke, who finds Jesus first? It's Martha, because she's about doing what needs to be done, and she's been planning on when Jesus is showing up, because he's got to be part of everything that's going on. So she comes to Jesus first, and she's that doer. And she's grieving, and she's suffering from this enemy of death that has separated her from her brother, and she comes to Jesus, and that question, if you had been here, my brother and I, that statement's like, if you love, you love us, if you'd been here, we wouldn't have to deal with this. So how do I understand you love me and I still have to deal with this? And to the doer, Martha's kind of asking, and I think kind of represented, she's kind of like, so what do I do now? One of the most difficult things when we face the loss of a loved one is all the things we wish we would have what? Done. What do we do now that I've lost that, and that's no longer where, and that's dead and gone? What do I do? Well, you see, Jesus loves Martha, and he has glory for her to see. And it's beautiful, because what he does is Jesus responds exactly the way she needs it. He responds by saying, "I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? Jesus responds to the doer by saying, "Look, who I am will be all you need." For those of us who don't have anything more to do, we can't fix it. We can't make it better. We can't turn back time. We can't undo that decision. And we sit there like, I can't do anything more. This is just, death has won in this area. Or we think about the loved one that we've lost, and I can't do anything for them anymore. What do we do in that moment? How do we know the love of Jesus? And the answer is, Jesus says, with these hands that want to do something, just grab mine. Because I am what you need right now. That loved one you wish you could do something for, if they're in me, I'm doing it all. There's not anything they're missing. Anything you felt like you didn't do, I'm doing it all in heaven right now. They're totally taking it. It's all done. Just know me. For that person who's in the middle of strife and things have fallen apart in finances or circumstance or relationship, I don't know what to do anymore. You know what you do? Know me. Believe in me. Understand who I am. I have your answer. I am the answer. You don't need to do anything more. You need to know me more. Because that's our weakness, right? I want to go do instead of know. And so there's those people that we know we have a situation in our life, and it's a $100 debt, and we got $9 in our hands. And Jesus is standing next to us with, like, cash after cash. And we just sit there with our head down, and we look at our $9. And we're like, what do I do? I owe $100. What do I do? And Jesus is like, here, so you might want to, like, look up and know me right now, because I've kind of got all this. What do I do? God, Jesus, right now, you know, don't put our head up. Don't actually look. Right now, multiply the nine. Maybe if I work hard, maybe if I cut it in half, and, you know, it's like, put your head up, turn this way, see who I am. You don't need to do something. You need to know who I am right now. And so there are many of us, we struggle, we're doers. And it's not a bad thing we're a doer. We just got an inherent weakness in all of it. We want to fix it. We want to make it happen. And yet the glory in the midst of our death, in the midst of the loss, and the things that we don't know how to fix, and there's nothing to do about it, Jesus says, would you know me? Because I'm the resurrection life, and everything that needs to be done, I'm doing. Know me. Now the second person, of course, is Martha. Mary, sorry. And Mary's the feeler. I mean, Mary, she's the heart. Yo, Martha's the hands, but Mary's the heart. And if you just even pay attention to how, you know, Martha hears Jesus is coming, Martha gets up, does not make a big scene, is not very expressive, goes over, talks to Jesus, asks her a question, gets an answer, says she believes, right? What does Mary do? Mary's a feeler. We got a lot of feelers in our life, right? Man, feelers are just big. They're just big with everything they do, right? It's always big. I mean, so when Mary gets up, all the Jews notice Mary getting up because she's not hiding how she's feeling. And they all come, and when Mary comes to Jesus, she can come like Martha who just, you know, no. Mary falls at his feet and is weeping because she's a feeler. She's just feeling all of the pain. She's all about just the right now relationship. And Mary's asking Jesus, if you were here, I wouldn't be going through this. I mean, why are you letting me feel the way I'm feeling right now? Because that's what Mary cares about. That's how she's wired. And there are times when all the doers are doing their thing that nobody gets it like Mary, because it's like, hey, it's about him right now. It's not even about the preparations and the food. And praise the Lord for our feelers. But you see, Mary, sometimes she didn't, you know, because she feels so much, she can make it all about just how she's feeling and what's going on in her world. She doesn't even notice when Jesus is coming. Martha picks it up first, right? Why? Probably because she's just all in how she's feeling right now. She's not even paying attention to anything. And she's a feeler, and she comes and she's like, Jesus, why are you letting me feel this way? Because it's unbearable to me. I'm a feeler. I can't handle this. And Jesus has this beautiful response to Martha. He says, here I am. This is who I am. Know me. To Mary, he just responds by saying, I'm feeling what you're feeling. A matter of fact, not only am I feeling what you feel, I'm seeing what you see. Come on, I'm with you. I'm with you. I know what this is. I know I don't like death anymore. Hey, I'm part of the Trinity. We're not about separation. We're about so much unity, you can't quite explain how we're all together. Unending, no interruption in relationship. That's what I'm about. And here we are. And Mary, I feel what you feel because I hate death. I hate separation. I hate the end of the relationship. And Mary, right now, you need to know that I love you so much. I'm feeling what you're feeling. I'm seeing what you're seeing. And I'm weeping like you're weeping. Because even though I'm the resurrection and the life, and even though I know I'm going to conquer this, and even though I know it's defeated, I'm deeply moved and troubled in spirit that this separation is even allowed to exist. I feel what you feel. Mary, I'm with you. I love you. What a beautiful thing. And, you know, it's so classic. Usually a marriage is what? You know, one feeler, one doer. You know, and that's where all our jokes come from. And, you know, the doer just, I just need something to do. If a loved one passes, what does the doer do? It works on all the details, right? And what does the feeler do? Just feels it and hugs and cries on people's shoulders and talk and just reaches out relationally. And it's just how God made us. We're just different. And here Jesus, who is the I am, who says it, I am, I'm the I am, I'm everything to every person. He knows exactly how to share love with the doer, and he knows exactly how to share love with the feeler. And then comes the moment of the final question. Let me get that over one. There we go. See, the Jews bring it all to a head. Because the Jews represent, if Martha's the hands and Mary's the heart, well, the Jews, they're the head. They're thinking. You know, they're not sure they believe. They haven't entered into relationship. They haven't entered into belief. Because why? What are they doing? What are they thinking? See, they're putting a few things together. I see him weep, so I see him love, so I'm thinking about that. And I'm seeing how awful this is, and how would anybody who loves anybody let this happen? And I don't get it. I don't understand these two. I don't think I believe, because these two don't make sense to me when I think about them. I can't put these two together in the world's way of thinking. They say, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? The Jews are asking, how could your love or your life be true if this is the world we live in? If death happens and tragedy and pain and people get separated, and how is it possible? And it's interesting, because when Mary brings Jesus and he weeps, he's moved. He's moved and he's troubled because he loves Mary, and he hates death and he hates separation. And but when the Jews ask one more time, well, he's, again, it's the second time it's used, he's deeply moved. And that phrase in the Greek and the Hebrew is only used in connection in the Old Testament when it talks about God warning of wrath and judgment. He's like indignant, and he's about to act. He's stirred up, and he's about to act, and he's about to rebuke. And it says here, Jesus is deeply moved. Like, he's indignant with what's going on. He's indignant that there would be people who don't understand his love. He's not indignant with people. He's indignant with the lack of belief that the enemy allows to rule this world. He's angry at the enemy's power to keep hidden who he really is to those who see death all around him. And he's so angry, and he's so in there, and he's so stirred up, that his response is, oh yeah? Well, why don't you trust me right now and see who I am? Let's not just think about it. Let's see it. And so what? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. And Jesus says, all right, let's stop thinking. Let's do. And he says, take away the stone. But Lord, said Martha, she's the doer. She's already figured out how this works and doesn't work. So that's not a good idea. By this time, there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Let me tell you how long he's been there, how bad it is, and why you don't want to do this. Then Jesus said, oh, wait a minute. Did I not tell you that if you believe, you want to get this thinking straight and understand how both are true at the same time? Well, you're going to have to trust what I'm asking you to do, and you will see how much I love you. And so they take the stone away. You see, to the doer, Jesus wants the person to know, I'm the answer. And the part of us that feels, he wants to say, and I care. And then to the thing, he says, but you've got to believe. You see, I am the resurrection and life, and I care deeply about what you're feeling, but you've got to let me in so I can heal it. You see, if you want to know how much I love you, it's not enough to know I'm the answer. It's not enough to know I care. You've got to roll away the stone. You got to let me in. You got to take the one room that's dark and has no light and let the guy with the flashlight in. And then you'll see what I can do. And so he calls to immediate action. He invites them to obey him. He doesn't demand it. Once they yield and they start with a first step of trust, Jesus' authority level and voice goes up a lot. And then he tells the deaf what to do. You need to live. You need to come out of that. But he does not demand that we roll away the stone. That's your choice. That's my choice. And if you can't figure out how Jesus loves us and still allows death, you've got an obedience issue. Because I tell you what, the one who is faithful and loves us is ready to reveal his glory if we will believe, if we will trust, if we will act. And so this beautiful thing's happened. Because Jesus said it, they take away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe." He wants these Jews to believe. He wants them to understand the power of what he does. You know, Lazarus is actually getting a lesser deal coming back. I mean, it's beautiful and temporary. It's a joyous thing, but it's a sign, because really the best option is for Lazarus to be over here. This is wonderful. This is everything. This is everything God created for him. But Jesus is concerned for the belief of the world. He's indignant and deeply moved that people don't understand. And so, because of that, he is going to allow Lazarus to experience and the demonstration of that love in this life. Not because it's the best thing, but it's for his glory. And we need to realize that it's beautiful when God heals. He demonstrates his love all the time. He is the divine healer over sickness and illness. And he does do these things in this life, but they are always lesser than the real gift and the real glory and the full beholding of all that he really is. But he'll do it because he wants people to believe, because he doesn't want people to feel love. He wants to show them and give signs. He wants to help them understand. You can't always live by these things, but he loves enough to help you believe. You know, sometimes Jesus is so indignant. He sees people are experiencing death and separation in life, and he's so indignant, and he's so about to move, that he rises up in you and has you give a pizza to somebody who's not expecting it. That's how indignant he is. Because there's someone who's someplace wondering about how God feels about them, and he is indignant that they wouldn't understand his love. He's angry at the enemy for blinding and causing unbelief, that he will move in your heart to do something as simple as an expression that says, "By the way, in the midst of whatever death, darkness, confusion, worry you're in, fear, there's a God who loves you." Because he wants you to know his glory. He wants you to know how much he loves you. And so we do these things like these pizza boxes, and we're giving out our wristband, we're inviting people in. We're not doing it in some sort of religious, who wins the most people kind of thing. What we're doing is saying there's a God from the very beginning who has loved us, who has called us, who sees a world trapped in death. Everybody's separated and isolated and fragmented from one another. And our passion is to know the one who is life, who's defeated all this, would come and be known to those who are in darkness. That's who he loves. He wants to bring light to darkness. He wants people to see the light. He wants to see how much he loves them. And sometimes he uses you, and sometimes he uses me, but all of it is led by his Spirit. And so that's what we do together. You know, in all of this, we've got to recognize in ourselves, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to feel better. And I really don't even know what the point is in working on this. But can you do something? God, I have nothing left to do in this situation. I can't make my family not do this or be this. I can't. It's where I am. And Jesus says, hey, I'm the answer. Just know it. I'm the answer. Just know me. Well, I want to do something. Just know me. Be still and know that I'm God. God, why am I feeling this way? I care about what you're feeling. I care about it. I want you to be healed, and one day we're going to get past this, but I'm not asking you to just act like nothing's wrong. I see what you see. But you've got to roll away the stone and let me in. You've got to choose to say, Jesus, you're welcome here. And Martha's answer, man, it's all of us. Well, let me tell you why this is too long gone and it looks too bad. There's nothing you can do when you see it, Jesus. It's not going to feel good to see this again. I don't understand how this is going to help. I am the resurrection and the life. With your hand, take mine. With your heart, trust me. With your mind, step out and choose me. Obey. Trust in the Lord with all of your and lean not unto your own. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He's got life. I was in the middle of first service, was praying through the our congregation. I went up to one, and the Lord just prompted me and said, I said, the Lord's already spoken to you, but you're trying to figure out how it's going to work. Just believe. Be all right. And she was like, you know, it's like one of those, Pastor Sean, how do you know? That's just, the Lord would say, you need to believe. Know who he is. So this morning, what I'd like us to do is not think about a good thought, but take a few moments and say, Lord, I want to make sure in my life I'm rolling the way. I'm not hiding death. I don't have to broadcast it to everybody, but I do need to say, in the end, Lord, I need you. Because you want to see God get, you want to see all his love? You've got to choose to roll away the stone and let him in. He'll do all the forceful stuff in a beautiful way for you there. You got to make a choice. So I'm going to ask Pastor Brandon if he'd come for a moment. And I want us just by the Spirit to invite him in. To say, Lord, if there's any place in my life that I'm not listening to, you're saying roll away that stone and let me in there. And I'm saying, no, too long, too nasty, I don't want. Lord, I want to change today. I want to change because you are the resurrection life. And let me tell you what, we're going to have this time here, and it's not going to be overly long. But let me tell you, what's the point of coming in here and leaving out of here if the stone's still over the tomb? What did we just do? So I'm going to ask you to stand with me wherever you are, would you? I'm going to ask you to just bow everything you are before the Lord today. Father in heaven, you sent your Son that we might have life, that we should not live in death, that everything, even the sins of the past, would not end in death, but Lord, redemption and reconciliation and hope and healing would happen. Lord, in you, you are life and you are resurrection, and Lord, we are not to fear but to believe. Lord, there was a day, many of us in this room, we were dead in our sins and our trespasses, and you called out. You called out to me, Sean, come out. And Lord, I once was dead, but I became alive in you. And Lord, one day in heaven, after this body breaks down and can't breathe anymore, you'll call my name again. And you'll say, Sean, come out. And I'll live forever with you. But Lord, there's a day called today in which you're calling our names again. And you're inviting us. Roll away the stone. Don't settle for death. Don't settle for disobedience. But follow me. Let me in. Let the author of life come into the place that's messy and it just stinks and it's broken and there's nothing to do. Let me come in. Trust me there. For didn't I tell you that this won't end in death, but in my glory, if you will believe. So Lord, I pray right now, as we take a moment to worship you in spirit and truth, Lord, guide us. As we worship, I'm going to invite you this morning. Just a great way to roll away the stone this morning, just to humble yourself, just to find a way out from that altar and find a place up front at the altar. And just say, Lord, I'm just rolling away the stone this morning, just saying I need you to come on in. God, I don't want to hold anything back, but Lord, I want you to come into this place, and I want others to believe because of the actions that I take. So as we begin this worship song, if you're sensing God speak to you right now, Lord, guide you. I'm just going to invite you to come and find a place at the altar. Say, Lord, just I'm rolling away the stone today, and I'm asking you to come in and show me all that you are in life. As we worship, be invited to come. Praise your name. As you've already come forward, just begin to press in. Just keep saying it. Just keep saying it. God, I just choose to roll away the stone. I just roll the way you're invited in. Oh, God, I don't know what you'll do. I don't know if I can handle how it feels. I don't understand what's going on. But, Lord, guide me and direct me. As we're praying that this morning, the Lord clearly spoke a word to me about the men of our church. Obviously, Martha was a doer, but so often it's us men who fall into the doing category. And as we're just praying, I don't mean to disrupt the prayers that are being prayed. Just continue on. But men, we've got to be the first. We've got to be the first to say, I'm willing to humble myself and roll the stone away. I've got to be the first to say, God, you're invited in. I don't know how to handle this, and I'd much easier put a lid on it and manage it by putting it away than saying, come in, God. Come in and do what only you can do. So I just feel in obedience to the Lord this morning I need to make a call to men that you would step out and say, God, I am willing. I'm willing to be the first to say, Lord, come into every aspect of my family, of my job, of wherever it is, wherever I just want to wall it off and seal it up and not look at it anymore. I just feel like there's a clear call to men. So I'm going to ask you right now, men, if you would hear that word from the Lord and you would sense the Lord's spirit in there, I'm going to invite you to come and come forward and step out and be at this altar this morning in obedience to the word of the Lord. Would you do that as you hear from the Lord this morning? You know, you need to be the first. You need to be the first to step out and say, God, I'm willing to roll away the stone. Just keep coming into my life. Don't let any death, any sin, any unforgiveness, any depression, discouragement live in my life, oh God. But be life and light to me. Praise your name, God. We stand before you. Sometimes like Martha, just saying, I know in the end it all works out, and you're saying, no, I want to work right now. I'm right now. I'm right now, resurrection and life. So Lord, we just yield ourselves to you. I'm going to ask as the men begin to do that, if there are the other women this morning that would say, you know, I need to step forward. I need to step forward, and whether you're joining a family member up here, you just need to step forward yourself this morning and say, Lord, I'm yours, we're yours. I'm going to invite you as ladies, to do the same right now as the Lord is calling. Just a step of faith to say, Lord, I'm before you, and oh, I'm welcoming you into every area of our home, of our life this morning. And as the Lord worked life, he still had others take off the grave clothes, other people that would stand with those who are experiencing new life. I'm going to invite you, if you want to come and join someone in prayer this morning, I'm going to invite you to come forward as well. May you be part of that encouragement and that grace in their life right now. Praise your name. Lord, we love you. We love you, Lord. So I'm going to invite all of us now, us doers, our feelers, us thinkers right now. Let's just invite the Lord. And when you begin to say prayers, if, Lord, just come in. Come in. Let your Holy Spirit move in my life in fresh ways. Bring a life I've never known. I can't make. I can't create it. I can't figure it out. I can't plan for it. But Lord Jesus, that you are with me and that you love me is all I need. And I want to, in faith, believe that what has been death and what has been difficulty and what has been difficult and painful, Lord, you're not going to let it end there. But I'm going to see your love and your glory of your love in a fresh way. So Lord, bring that love to me even now. Would you begin to pray and ask for those prayers, church? Would you begin to pray together right now? Would you begin to lift your voice? Lord, have your way among us. We need life. We don't need a service. We don't need a timetable. We don't need principles on a piece of paper. What we need is your presence right now in our lives. Come as we've heard the word of God, as we understand who you are in the gospel of you as Savior. Come even right now, and don't let any one of those who believe in you settle or be deceived or be lulled into a sleep that death is allowed to stay in our lives, that sin is allowed to be victorious. But we welcome you even right now by the power of your Spirit, that you would come to be the resurrection and life to every person here. You are able, and you will, in time, take care of all those grave clothes, all of the circumstances. You'll work that out. But you call us to come out from that attitude, from that power, from that authority. We've been dominated. We've been put into submission to those things. And we declare right now that we are free in Jesus Christ. We are free in Jesus Christ. We choose to roll away the stone and invite you in. We choose, come and fill our hands with your hand. Come and fill our hearts with your compassion. Come and fill our thoughts with the very experience right now of your presence and your action, dear God. And begin to move mountains in homes, in workplaces, Lord, in those relationships, in those areas that only you and them know about, dear God. Thank you, Father. Would you take a moment and pray for someone nearby you, or just take a moment and continue to commit yourself to the Lord right now? Hidden and put to the side, but Lord, as we open ourselves up, say, Lord, bring your healing and resurrection power. It's done now in the name of Jesus. Lord, for those who, Father, just been so discouraged about certain circumstances, and especially words that have been spoken over them, right now, would you speak your word over them? And your word is greater than any word of man in the name of Jesus. Right now, your word is spoken over every life, every thought, name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And Father, would you show us who you are right now? Don't let us think about you from a distance. Come. Come, Lord Jesus. Be invited into our homes, into our workplaces, into our thoughts, into all we are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You are good. Praise your holy name. Thank you.
Father, you're the healer of a pain. You're a healer of a pain that's been too great for us to bear. And Father, you've given us life even in the midst of death. God, you've helped us when we didn't know how to help ourselves anymore. And we're grateful. God, we cannot wait for the day when it's destroyed, not just defeated. We can't wait for the day when we're with loved ones again. We get to live it all out right, the way we're always supposed to. Lord, we know it's so important that we and everybody we know right now knows you. Because one day we get to do it right if we will turn and believe. If we'll turn from our sin and our unbelief and come to you. So Lord, don't give us rest until everybody we love loves you. Because, Lord, there's a day coming that we'll get to celebrate that death will be destroyed, not just defeated. And in that day, we're going to get to rejoice like never before. So though we ache and we stumble and we mess up in this side, Lord, don't let the enemy prevail over us. Don't let death and sin win. We ask right now for forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins, Lord, if we have been tempted to say in bitterness that we're not doing anything more. They've got to be the one to change and apologize, Lord. Keep people healthy that they would never settle for entering into, re-entering in any sort of abusive relationship. But give them wisdom to know what it looks like to walk in forgiveness. Because, Lord, Father, you don't want any of that to reign in their heart. And, Father, for those things that are just our foolish pride and our busyness and the inconvenience of people's problems, Lord, we've asked forgiveness for being hard-hearted. Take away the separation, take away the death, and reunite us with those that, Lord, you've called us to love. Lord, you're faithful in this place today. And Lord, we may not know how to fix things, but we can't do it. You're the one who prayed the prayer. We didn't say a prayer that made it better. You prayed to the Father, and you invited Lazarus to come out. So Lord, we pray that our loved ones would hear your name, and they would go from death to life in Christ in this lifetime. Father, I also pray for the one especially who feels alone, who feels very separated. Even at church today, they feel very alone. Lord, maybe they're online and they're listening. They feel very alone today. Lord, you are with them. And I pray that, Lord, you deeply move, would rebuke and remove any false appearance that you are not with them. You are with them. You love them. Let them know the glory of your love today. Father, we are thankful for this time. Thank you, dear God. And so, Lord, now, as your Holy Spirit moves upon us, be the good shepherd that continues to walk with us. Let us not fear. Let us not move into overdoing. Let us not get caught in self-pity and overfeeling. Father, let us understand what it is to trust you with action and not just have religious thoughts. And let none of us here receive a spirit of condemnation. But as we turn to you, Father, pour out grace in our lives. We do all of this praying the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Remembering the lost. Next prayer, please. Lord of the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We ask you to send out workers into your harvest field and cause us to go also and give you glory. Feel free to stay and pray as much as you would like. If you'd like someone to pray with you, we'll be around here up front. God bless you, and his grace and his love overflow in your life this week as you continue to follow and believe in him.